yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. With your hands lifted up, say, I declare, I am the redeemer of the Lord. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is my Lord. The Lord Jesus reigns in my life. In the name of Jesus, by the rebuke of the Lord, I dismiss all charges held against me by the accuser, by hell, by the forces of darkness, by spiritual wickedness. I dismiss all charges held against me by the adversary, by the rebuke of the Lord. I silence the accuser. I silence every whispering. I silence the voice of the enemy. By the rebuke of the Lord, I free my conscience, my mind, my spirit, my soul, my faith, and declare that I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Give somebody a high five and shout. And you may be seated in heavenly places. I want to talk to you a little bit about a message I began the first service. And I realized over the years that the devil don't want the church to have money. He wants you to be spiritual, but he don't want you to have money. He wants money in the hands of his children, his people. Because whoever controls money in every society calls the shot. And when money, tell somebody, money is a weapon, it's a weapon. Tell somebody, it's a tool. It's a medium of exchange. And whoever controls it calls the shot and determine what happened. So the devil and Christians to have money. Two, he don't want us to have a testimony. He wants you to serve God without a testimony. But I came to announce to somebody this morning, the devil is a liar. Can you tell somebody the devil is a liar? And so is his mother-in-law. You want to know who his mother-in-law is? Come to church on Wednesday. For those of you who are lukewarm and are backsliding slowly, so you come to church only on Sunday, pretty soon it will be Easter Sunday, then Christmas service, then 31st night, then weddings and funerals. May you not fall into that category. May you not backslide in the name of Jesus. But I want to talk to you on a message I entitled, Don't Withhold the Precious Seed. Don't withhold it. Because the first thing that happens to all of us, including myself, I'm not exempted from scripture. I'm subject to scripture like you. We're all the same. Is the fact that the first thing we do when we face crisis, difficulties, in times of trials and hardship, the first thing we do is to go into what we call self-preservation mood. That's the first thing we do. And especially when I live in America, with the way Uncle Sam, IRS, can come after you to even pay tax on money you haven't yet received. Yeah. Terrible. 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 That's where a lot of Americans are living. They are going to Canada and other places. Bad laws. Tax you. At least in their society, when you are not working, the government helps you out. It's not like over here, when you pay tax, but when you are in trouble, nobody helps you. So you got to plan. And it's good to plan. It's good to plan. But you got to be careful that you don't ignore scripture for the wisdom of man. Because you see, the word of God is foolishness to those who believe not, but is wisdom to those who believe. And God said, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Period. His ways are different from our ways. And heaven value system is different from earth and man's value system. God sees differently from men. So don't subject scripture to reasoning and to logic and to philosophy. It's not going to work. The word of God is above logic and philosophy and the reasonings of man. God is committed to his word. And I know that in times like this, I remember during the time of the yellow corn, when we used to key for yellow corn and yellow kenke. In those days, some of you were not born. And those of you who were born, you were eating yellow kenke, but you didn't even know it was yellow kenke. Those are difficult times. And those were times that I kept sowing. And it was very painful and difficult in those days to sow under those circumstances. In the heat of the revolution. And God sent a friend of mine, Prayer Canada, all the way from Canada to America. And he came and he said, Nick, the Canadian High Commissioner is a friend of mine. I want to introduce you to him. So we went for a dinner. And we gelled, we became friends. And in those difficult days, every month he would drive to Lomé to go and shop. And he would call me and say, Nick, can you come with me? And I said, yes. And I drove with a diplomatic car all the way to Togo, put me in a nice hotel, pay for it, and he would shop and shop for me. And everything that we didn't have in Ghana, I had it. And when I did lunch and dinners and things, I had everything. And yet I didn't pay for it. God made provision for me by sending a friend from Canada to come and live. Renault. And it was an old car. Mr. Chung, you remember? That old car. One of the sisters in the church gave it to me. And when you are climbing the hill on Accra, you go into Accra Girls, then the car will begin to reverse. Sometime I will back. Something happens. That was my first car. A reverse car. It reversed on the hill. And Pastor Leslie will be driving. I wasn't driving at that time. So one time I went to his house, we had dinner, and he said, I bought my car, a car for my wife, brand new. I brought it, but she doesn't want it. She wants another car. So I want to sell it. And I said, I'll buy it. I just said, I'll buy it. I didn't have money. I didn't know what came upon me, and I said, I'll buy it. It wasn't faith. It wasn't Patapa. It wasn't Takashi. I did not have Kwachaba. So he said, okay. And he gave it to me at a very good price. So I flew to London. That particular year, every church I preached in London, they didn't give me an offering. They were inviting me to come and eat in their house. And one time I got offended and I said, you think I flew all the way from Ghana here to come to eat fufu? Your fufu here is not proper fufu. It's artificial fufu. In Ghana, we pound the thing. So don't insult my intelligence. After sowing and giving, nothing was happening. I was staying in a hotel in Paddington. So one day I decided that today I'm not going out. And I said, Satan, this one is not between me and God. It's between me and you. I fulfilled all righteousness. You are the one blocking this thing. Unblock it in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. Unblock and take your hands off. I declare. I was disturbing the people in the hotel. Calling in my room if I was okay, and I said, yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. So I went to rest. A few hours after, an old friend of mine, Michael Bassett, the pastor of Victory Church in Hampstead, called me. He said, Nick, where are you? I said, I'm in my hotel. He said, can you come see me? And I said, yes, what is it? And he said, the Lord spoke to me a few hours ago to give you some money. I said, Michael, don't leave the office. Don't go anywhere. I'm on my way. I sat in the train. Whilst I was in the train, I kept binding. No diversion. He won't have a running stomach. He won't go out. Nothing will happen. There'll be no interference whatsoever. I prayed in tongues till I got to Hampstead. I walked into his office. He took me to Northwest Bank around Hampstead area there. And then he signed me a check. Cash it, £5,000. It was exactly what I needed. As soon as I got the money, I changed my flight. I landed in Accra. That Sunday, my preaching was different. The preaching was not just Holy Ghost. It was Holy Ghost plus Quachabamba anointing. On Monday, I went and I paid. Brand new car. Drove it from the Canadian High Commission in those days to my house. And my walking changed. Do you know, that seed Michael Bassett sold about 30 years ago, he's still harvesting from it today. Up to today. And he has reaped more than 100 times of the money he gave me out of that one seed. Sometimes when you sow, you think you are helping somebody. You are helping yourself. Whenever you put a seed in the ground, you are not doing the ground a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. So stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Stop lamenting. Nobody is trying to rob you of anything. When you sow a seed in the ground, you are not doing the ground a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. The ground don't get the harvest. The sower gets the harvest. Put your hands together. Shout yes. Are you hearing me, somebody? Tell somebody, don't hold back the precious seed. Turn your Bibles with me, if you please. To Proverbs 11, the 24th to the 25th verse. Proverbs, the 11th chapter.
Mm-hmm. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth.
How can you scatter and yet increase? That is the wisdom of God. Tell somebody, that is the wisdom of God. That contradicts the wisdom of man. Because the wisdom of man means save, hold back for a rainy day. God said, my principle is different from the principles of man. Look at the next verse.
And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty.
There is one
that withholdeth.
They withhold, they hold back and keep and save more than what is necessary. And it turns into poverty. Holding back, self-preservation leads into selfishness. And selfishness leads into greed. Greed. Hear me. Whatever you are afraid to give to God, Satan will take it from you. And I've spoken to people over and over and over again over the years who held back corporate tithes and seeds and things that belong to God because they were afraid to give it to God or the church for all kinds of reasons. And they came to me years after and said, Papa, you know something? I've calculated my corporate tithes to God. And the amount of money I have lost these few years, when I calculated it, is exactly the money I should have given to God and the church. And I laugh. You are joking. Satan, he will work you. Whatever you are afraid to give to God, let me prophesy with my eyes open to you, that which you are afraid to give to God, Satan will eventually take it from you. He will create situation to rob you of it, and you will end up with no reward from the Lord. But if you dare to sow and not be afraid and act in faith, not emotionally, God will blow your mind. You will never lack and you will never want. If you believe it, say yes. He said, there is one that withholdeth more than is necessary, and yet, after saving and withholding more than is needed, it turns into poverty. That is scripture. Is it in your Bible? This is, I didn't write it, so don't look at me with that look. It's in the scripture. And that is what happened to people who withhold. I remember when I lived in America, we needed to buy a church building. We didn't have money. The bank account was not good. So I went to a bank we saved with to see the manager. We saw this property we wanted. And the manager said, listen, Archbishop, I'm sorry. I'm told you are from Africa. And I said, yes, what's wrong about Africa? He said, well, your bank account is not good. You don't have enough money. And what you are asking for, you need $500,000. And you don't even have $50,000. So you can't have it. I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I said, who is in charge here? And he said, the boss is up there. And I said, please tell the boss that there's an archbishop here. I'd like to see him. So she told the boss. And the boss said, come up. So I went to see the boss. And I said, I'm here to talk to you, madam. He said, I already know why you are here. We can't help you. And I said, let me tell you something, madam. It's true that we are not qualified for the money we need. But I said, I just came to town. And I'm trying to build this house, this work. We've been giving all our money to the hotels. We need to save God's money, multiply the church. And I said, you have two choices. One, to overlook the rules, work with me, and let me get the building, and it will give you eternal rewards, and you take credit for what this church becomes. Because you will see me on television, on different networks. You hear about me and this church, and you can sit down with your family, take credit, and say, I helped him. Or you can deny me, and I'll walk away, and I will not mind you, but I'll get the money from somewhere else, and I'll buy this building. And you hear of me, see my success, and your mouth will be shut, and you can't take credit for it, and you will regret you didn't do it. He looked at me and said, who are you? Now, don't go doing that, though. That is a different kind of audacity. Are you hearing me? And the Lord gave me utterance, and I said some things. And she said, are you a psychic? I said, no, I'm a prophet. She said, okay, I'll cut a deal with you. She said, even though you are not qualified, I'll give you 90 days. If you can raise $250, I'll give you the money. So I went to church on Sunday morning, and I said, we need $250 in 1 month. Because if I said 90 days, it would be 6 months. I've been doing church for a long time. I know church people. And delay obedience is disobedience. So I didn't want to go into disobedience. God began to speak to people and touch people's heart. Within 6 weeks, I had $500,000. And I said to the manager, can I talk to the lady up there, please? And I went up there, and I put the check on the table, and I said, you said $250,000? This is $500,000. She said, you are the kind of archbishop I like to work with. You will be the person that every bank manager in town will want to deal with. She gave me the money. She gave me the money. And put together the document we signed. We bought the building. We bought it. We bought the building. You will live in your own house. You will not go around being a tenant anymore. You will be a landlord. You see, the only time you hear my Lord is when you go to court addressing the judge, my Lord. The second time you hear Lord is when you own your own house. You become a landlord. You'll be a landlord. I declare you'll be a landlord. Receive it in the name of Jesus. If you receive it, shout and clap your hands. That building became small. So we sold it. We sold it. And amazingly, when we sold it, we were short of $150,000 to buy another building. We needed $500,000 again to buy the building we just bought in Silver Spring. And this new building is three-story building. And we have bank and offices and everything there being rented. So we sold it and they said, Papa, we need $150,000. And I said, yes, so. I said, so. He said, Papa, it's tight. And I said, sow a seed. Bring me an offering. Yeah. It's a principle. It's a golden principle. It works. So they sold. They gave. I called them and I said, how are we doing? They said, Papa, you won't believe it. We needed $50,000 to close. And a miracle just took place. And I said, what was the miracle? He said, by the time we went through the papers and everything, we discovered a cross in the papers, in the document, that the one buying the building must give us $51,000. And it was there all the time. We just discovered it. So our attorney told the attorney, he said, right, it's legal. So they gave us $51,000. So we don't need any money again. So they went to close. Do you know, hear me, do you know who gave us money to buy the second building? The same lady who gave me money to buy the first building in Laurel had moved from the bank she was working for. And she and her husband had established their own bank. And the people who bought the first church building from us, watch this, saved with that bank. So it was that bank that paid money to us to sell that building. So the lady said, but is this not the Archbishop's church? And they said, yes. And he said, if it's the Archbishop's church, I'll finance it for you. She's now a family friend. She's a family friend. She lived in a place called Potomac. Very sophisticated area. It's only Jews that live there. And I used to live in a place called Elkridge. It's not on the map of America. It's between BWI and Baltimore. Some small, tiny village. I used to live there. Bishop Dak came there. Eastwood also came to see me and said, Papa, what are you doing here? Papa, why? And I said, leave me here for now. I moved to Potomac. I was the only black living on that whole community. And I find out she and the husband lives in the same place. And they invited me to the clubhouse. And when I entered the clubhouse for dinner, me and my wife were the only darkies there. Everybody was Oyibo. And everybody was looking at me and I decided to walk some way, you know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I refused to be intimidated. God will take you places and you will not be intimidated. You know, my son Joel was invited. He went to Dubai and he was invited to the house of the king. And by one of the crown princes who is a friend. And I saw a picture and he has dressed like one of them. So I said, son, what is this? He said, Papa, that is the only dressing they understand. Oh. He said, when I dress like them, I look like them with my beard and everything. When they see me, they salute me and they bow like this. I said, you small boy. Hey, are you hearing me? The same woman gave us money to buy the second building. Now, watch the miracle of this. There is a Bank of America in the building. Then they have shops and offices there. The money they pay us takes care of the mortgage. So they don't have to use tithe and offering to pay mortgage. Are you hearing me? You will break a family curse. I said, God have designed to break a family curse in your family. You will have property to property to property to property. You will no more be a tenant. You will become a landlord of many lands and many houses. If you believe it, scream. You know, I remember one time my office called me and said, Papa, we can't pay our staff, we can't pay our rent. And I said, how much do we have? And she said, 12,000 pounds, dollars. I said, $12,000. We need more than that. We need about 28. Then the Lord said, send Bishop Jakes $10,000. And I said, no. It should be 1,000 or 2,000 maximum, but not 10. God, you see the situation. Why you do me that? You know, right? You see what I'm saying? So I told my office, and my office said, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, do it before I change my mind. If anybody tells you that giving is easy, it's a lie. It takes faith to give. And I'll prove it to you. It takes faith. So I called Bev and I said, I've sent a check to Bishop. As soon as it gets to you, can you please put it in his hands? And as soon as you put it in his hands, let me know. So she called and said, I've given it to him. And I said, now, Lord, let there be a performance. And accelerate it. I'm desperate. I need this one 24/7. The next day, a friend of mine called me from San Diego. I preach for him a lot when I live in America. He said, "Dude, where are you?" And I said, "I'm here in Maryland." He said, "I'm coming with red eye to see you tomorrow morning." So the next day, I met him at BWI. And we went for breakfast. And he said, "The Lord spoke to me last night to give you $50,000. So he gave me the check. I thank him, prayed for him. That evening, we met for dinner. I picked him up for dinner. I said, did you sleep well? He said, no. So I said, what happened? He said, the Lord had told me to give you $100,000, but I didn't want to do it. So I gave you 50. And I didn't sleep last night. This is the other $50,000. May the Lord harass and torment everyone holding your blessing and your miracle and your testimony. In the name of Jesus, I hand them over to the tormentors until they release what is yours. Anyone holding your breakthrough, anyone holding your testimony, anyone holding your blessing, I deliver them to the tormentors to torment them until they release your miracle. If you believe it, scream, shout, yeah. Then after that, I was invited to preach in a church in North Carolina. And I went to preach in this church. There were miracles, healings. I never seen that kind of healings in my ministry before. People coming out of witches. I mean, I've seen miracles and things. I don't dwell on it too much. And God was moving. Things were happening. Tumors and growth were disappearing. All kinds of miracles. And I said to myself, as for this one, the way God has moved, the pastor will be impressed. You give me a good offering. I borrowed my ticket. It was $1,200. You know the offering he gave me? $500. I was very depressed. I know you haven't been depressed before, but I'm telling you, Archbishop, your papa, I was depressed. I went to my hotel. I decided I'm not eating. I don't want to talk to anybody. The only thing I didn't do, I wanted to turn off my phone, and I felt like, don't turn it off. So I kept my phone on. I was sleeping then, my phone rang. And it was a lady I had prayed for years ago. She works with the World Bank. Carla's auntie. Carla is here. And she called me, Claude. And she said, I was then a bishop. He said, Bishop, do you remember me? And I said, who? She said, Claude, that, World Bank, this, that. And I said, yeah, long time. What can I do for you? I was very depressed. And I didn't want to even talk to anybody. So my spirit was down. And I said, so Claude, what can I do for you? He said, where are you? I said, I'm in North Carolina. She said, when are you coming to town? I said, tomorrow. She said, I have to see you. I said, about what? She said, I have a check for you. I said, you do? Immediately my spirit came back. Immediately I felt the anointing of God. Hey! It was a different kind of anointing. And she said, I have to see you tomorrow morning because I'm traveling. She's from Haiti. I'm going to Haiti. I said, meet me at BWI tomorrow morning at this time. I'll be there. As soon as the flight landed and I came out, I didn't go for my suitcase. I left my suitcase and I went out there, and she was there. And she gave me a check, $50,000. Then the Lord said to me, never you preach and expect anybody to pay you. You are working for me. I will take care of your bills. So don't go preaching and expecting money for preaching. Preach for me and for souls. Don't preach for money. That was what changed my life. My depression disappeared. May your depression disappear this week. May your spirit come back in the name of Jesus. You know, one of the major problems in marriages, apart from communication and sex, is lack of kwachabamba. Seriously, marriage counselor will tell you. Bishop Oboda is his authority on marriage, this man. Authority on marriage. When you see a woman wake up in the morning and she's singing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Two reasons. One, kwachabamba is flowing. The second one, imagine it yourself. I didn't say anything. You can't coach me. I said, wow. Whatever you made out of it, you it's your mind, not me. When you see a woman wake up in the morning screaming on the children, hey, Kofi, your face like your father. Hey, Adua, come here. And she's breaking glass and everything. There is no kwachabamba. And it's dry in the bedroom. That's all I said. It's not raining. Is it raining all around me? I can feel it. A lot of rain. Right on Jesus. Give us more rain. We are filled and we are soaked with a lot of rain. You added the rest to it. Hallelujah. Amen.
The liberal soul shall be made fat.
The liberal soul shall be what?
Made fat.
The liberal soul shall be
made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered.
He that watereth shall be watered. Tell somebody, keep watering, and you shall be watered. What happens to a lot of us in difficult times, we withhold. We stop following the principles. And we justify why we are withholding, waiting for a rainy day. But I know we keep giving, because I've been there several times where I reduce my giving and I try to cut certain corners and plan and everything. And I'm giving, but I don't see a harvest until the Lord will tell me, son, I need the precious seed, not the one you are comfortable with. I need the type Abel gave, not the type Cain gave. Cain gave what he could do without. Abel gave what he couldn't do without. If what you give to God don't move you, it will move God. If it doesn't mean anything to you, it will not mean anything to God. Genesis 22. God came and said to Abraham, Abraham, give me thy son. The Bible says, and God tested Abraham. That word tempted means tested him. And said, give me thy son. Thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. You see? You see, God goes for the precious. For God so loved that he gave his word, his only, say only, only, only. You see, what brings the harvest is the only. And the only is the one we always withhold for a rainy day. We never give the only. We keep it. We sit on it. And God said, Abraham, I have a harvest for you. I want to blow your mind. But I want to see whether you are in love with the provider or the provision. I want to see where your confidence is derived from. I'm giving you an opportunity to put your Isaac on the line for Jesus. I want to blow your mind. But let me see where you are. If you are a child of God, God will put your faith and your obedience to a test. I'm telling you. I have been tested over and over and over and over again. Oh, you talk about being tested. Yes, sir. Tested by all kinds of things. Yesterday, I was tested, but I didn't overcome it. You are looking at me. I went for a dinner. The American ambassador is leaving, and we had a dinner, so I was invited, and we finished eating. Everybody gave his speech, and it was time for dessert. And I don't eat dessert. The last time we did the same dinner, I didn't have dessert. This time, everybody was going for the dessert. And it was my turn. You know, and this lady said, after you, Archbishop. So I just said to myself, Rosa is not here. So I went for the dessert. And then when I sat down, the ambassador was looking at my plan. I said, today, I decided to break the rules. He said, it's okay, Archbishop, go ahead. Then when I finished eating it, I said, Father, thou knowest all things. You know, I don't eat dessert, especially in the night. I don't like it because you can't burn it. If you put petrol in your car and you don't use it, you wake up in the morning, the petrol will be at the same level. So I don't like eating dessert in the night. It'll just sit there. But yesterday, I just decided this is one temptation I'm not going to resist. I've resisted it. Today, I'm going to eat dessert. And I ate dessert. It was very sweet and nice. Oh, very tasty. I know you don't get tempted. I know you are a spirit. You don't get tempted. But I'm still a human being. Amen? Keep watering. Don't hold back. And God wants the best. He wants the best. Said Abraham, what I'm about to do for you, you need to prove to me that you love me more than the provision. A lot of folks in church, their money is their God. And let me tell you something. Whatever you are afraid to give to God, and for whatever reason, you hold back, Satan will take it from you. It's just a matter of time. Trust me on this. Trust me. I'm telling you. He'll take it from you. And you go without a reward. But if you give it to the Lord, to the ministry, there will always be a harvest in your life. Amen. Keep watering and you'll be watered. It's important. Come with me. Let me break this thing quickly down. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6.
In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike.
So good. You can't say because I gave at the first service or the morning service, in the evening I will hold back. Oh, I gave this Sunday, so Wednesday I'll hold back. He said, you don't know which one would trigger the harvest. It's a cycle. Keep honoring it. Keep doing it. Tell somebody, never be afraid to sow the precious seed. God could have said, Abraham, give me one of your sons. Genesis 22. He didn't say that. He said, Abraham, give me thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. When God wants to do something for you, he always demands a sacrifice. I'm telling you. If it is not a sacrifice, it's not God. Whenever God wants to establish a covenant and want to do great things for his people, he always demands a sacrifice. And a sacrifice is what will cost you something. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not God. And Abraham passed the test. And when he was ready to take the life of his son, the voice of an angel of the Lord came from heaven, from eternity into time, and said, I am Adonai. Touch not the land. Now you have proven to me that I can trust you. And I swear by myself as Elohim that in blessings I will blow your mind. And in multiplying, I will multiply you with transgenerational blessings that you will know that I am the Lord. My God. I pray for you that you will pass the test of obedience, that you will pass the test of faith, that you will not struggle with anything God requires of you. I'm telling you, I've been there before. When we're building this house, I had a prime property, a land. And I sold it. Sold it. I was keeping that house, that land for my own to build my house. And I sold it and gave it to the church to help with the foundation. From that time, God has shown me mercy. Shown me mercy. May your obedience show you mercy. If it's not a sacrifice, if it doesn't cost you anything, it's not God. Come with me to Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22.
While the earth remaineth, mm-hmm. seed time and harvest, mm-hmm. and cold and heat, mm-hmm. and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
You see, he didn't give us specifics about the conditions of the earth. But he said, whilst the earth remains, whether it's a time of flood, tsunami, earthquakes, hurricane, it doesn't matter. As long as the earth remains. And then he went beyond. But he began with seed and harvest. He said cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day. He said if cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night don't cease, then the principle of sowing and reaping will never cease. Never cease. No matter the condition of the earth, as the earth remains, and harvest time will never cease. It doesn't matter the condition and where you live. When the woman of Zarephath cried to God for a miracle, and a prophet came, the first thing the prophet said was, give me first to eat. What do you have? You know what she said? She said, nothing. I have nothing. But a little cruse of cake and oil. That's all I have. And listen to what she said. She also signed her death warrant and she pronounced a sentence of death on herself and on the son. He said, I have a little meal left for me and my son. For me, selfishness. It is what it is. For me and my son to eat. And when we finish, we would die. Ready to die. Little did she know that the answer to her solution was in the last meal she was about to eat and die. And the prophet said, if you want to lay out of this predicament and situation, is sow out of the poverty. The principle don't change. Even unbelievers understand it. I know a lot of unbelievers, friends I have. Unbelievers. They are not born again, but they understand the principle. A wealthy man was dying. One of the things he said to his son who inherited his business, he said, and this guy wasn't born again. He said, whenever the business is in trouble, take money and give it to the church. That was a father's last word to his son. And he wasn't born again. He said, whenever the business is in trouble, take money, go, give it to the church. It's a principle that works. But what the devil does to you and I, he deceives us. He makes us believe just because we are spiritual people and we pray and we fast and we have spiritual power. Spiritual power and prayer don't bring kwachabamba. Money begets money. Corn begets corn. Pineapple begets pineapple. You reap what you sow. You don't sow, you don't reap. No pain, no gain. No seed, no harvest. And the seed is not just any seed. The seed here is the precious seed. The precious one. The precious one is the one we always withhold. The one we haven't given yet. The one we are keeping and hiding for a rainy day. That is the one that breaks the back of poverty and guarantees the future. Are you clapping? Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6.
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Those that what?
Sow in tears.
Sow in what?
Tears.
You know why in tears? Because it's difficult to sow the precious seed in tears. The seed you sow without tears is not the precious one. The one you sow and you start thinking, you start believing, start praying tongues, start quoting the scriptures, start reminding God that, God, you have to move. This one you have to move. Yeah. I remember when I was in Bible school, I used to sow seriously. And every time I sow, I had a song I used to sing in those days. You want me to sing it?
Yes.
It's a simple chorus. Amen. But the reason why I will sing that song is because I was in Bible school, didn't have family, and I sow to my head. And I have to remind God that he will not allow me to be ashamed. Mm-hmm. He won't allow me to be ashamed. Go ahead.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious
seed. He that what?
Goeth forth and weepeth.
And what?
And weepeth.
And what?
Weepeth.
And what?
Weepeth.
Why is he weeping?
But bearing precious seed.
Why is he weeping?
Bearing precious
call me,
seed.
Call it. What? Say precious seed. That is the thing. That is the key a lot of Christians don't know. We just give and give and give. But the one that breaks the back of poverty is the precious seed. Now I know I give to orphanage. I have an orphanage. I feed them every day. They're on our budget. And I have a drug rehab. I give to the poor. Every year we give to prisons. We give to the hospital. We rarely give. Every year over 1,000 bags of rice, oil, cows, prisons. We send it all over the place. But when you are in famine, it's not the giving to prisoners and the sick that brings the harvest. That one has to do with your eternity. Eternal reward. I was in prison. You came to visit me. I was sick. You came to visit me. He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. Orphans is also something you do to lend to the Lord. The Lord will remember you in the day of affliction when you're on the bed of affliction. They all have special blessings they bring. Now, it is when you sow to the church and the harvest has come that out of the harvest you give to prison, you give to poor, you give to orphans and everything. You must know how the principles work. And giving must be by faith, by revelation, not by sympathy or emotions. I don't give by emotions. One of my father's friends came to visit me. He's an allergy. And he and my father go back many years. So he came to see me and we were talking and he said, you know, he tells a lot of stories. An old man, about 80 years. And he said one day this lady came. Everybody, they come to his office from morning to night to ask for money, 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 money. And he gives and gives. So this one day, a lady came to see him. And the lady told her story. And then she began to weep. So she cried and cried and cried, expecting him to do something. And he said on that day, he also decided, today. Nobody is taking my money today. So he also started weeping. So the lady will cry and he also cried. The two of them was, and the lady said, oh, stop crying, stop crying. The lady left. He didn't give anything. The tears didn't work. So I learned something out of it. When people come and they start crying, oh, I said, oh. It's funny, eh?
So he that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again.
Shall what? Doubtless come again. It's guaranteed. I've tried it. It's true. Oh, yes, it's true. God's wonderful promise is true. I've trusted and tested and tried it. And I know his promise is true. So it's not what I've been told, and it's not what the preacher said, and it's not what I'm reading, but I have trusted, I've tested it, and I've tried it, and I've come to the conclusion that the word of God is true. You can look at me any way you want to look at me. You can call me any name you want to call me. But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I will not apologize for my faith because I have trusted, I have tested, I have proven that it is true. Put your hands together, somebody. Shout. Give God a praise. Tell somebody it works. It works. Yeah, it works. It works. The Apostle John said the other day, he said, that which we have experienced, seen from the beginning, tested and tried, they have proven to be true is what we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with him. We are not just standing here talking. Are you hearing me? We are talking based on experiential knowledge and illumination of what we have encountered, what we have experienced. That's why David said the other day, I have been young and now I'm old. I'm not old, I'm growing. I refuse to be old. Amen. He said, I'm old. I've been young and now I'm old. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Your seed will not beg for bread. You will not face rejection in the name of Jesus. You will not be rejected in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout, say yes. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4.
He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap.
What does it mean? If you observe the wind, you won't sow. And if you don't sow, you won't have a harvest. So the devil don't want you to have a harvest. So what he does is to convince us to eat the seed. Hold the seed and eventually eat it. When you eat your seed, you don't have a harvest. A wise farmer, when they get the harvest, they put some aside to sow for another harvest. Keep sowing. Tell somebody, keep sowing. Tell someone, never be afraid. Say, don't be afraid of sowing. Keep sowing. The precious seed. The precious one, the precious one. And the precious one is the one we always hide and keep from God. Come with me, please. To 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall
sparingly
reap also
means
sparingly.
Little or small. He that soweth little or small shall reap little and small.
And he that soweth bountifully,
bountifully,
shall,
plenty,
shall reap also bountifully.
Shall reap also bountifully. It is what it is. If you sow corn at your backyard, you have a backyard harvest. If you sow corn on 1,000 acres of land, you have 1,000 acres of what? It is what it is. It is what it is. Tell somebody, don't be jealous of me. Don't be jealous of me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 10.
Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness.
So God gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. The problem with the church people, we eat the bread and we eat the seed. Because the reason why he gives us seed is because he knows how the principle and the laws work. That if we don't have seed, will never have a harvest. And the seed is to sow, not to eat, not to withhold. So he said, I will give you bread to eat, daily bread, but I will make sure you have seed to keep sowing so you keep having a harvest. And when the harvest comes, you don't consume everything. You put a seed aside to keep sowing. Genesis 26, verse 1. Genesis 26.
And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac waked unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines.
Go to 12 to 14.
And God, then Isaac sowed in that land.
When did he sow?
In that land, in the famine.
In abundance?
No.
In the times of plenty?
No.
No. The sowing is in the times of hardship. When the going gets tough and everything is dry up and things are difficult and hard, that is the time you sow the precious seed. But that is also the time the devil puts fear in you and tell you, Charlie, be careful. And there are even people in church who will tell you, don't let anybody fool you. And you have friends and loved ones and family tell you, don't let anybody deceive you. I've been there when I was a young Christian. People, friends, family, siblings would tell me, stop all this money you are giving to the church and things. Even my father. Every time you have money, you're giving church. Stop it. Plan your life. I said, thank you. I know too much now for anybody to fool me. I refuse to listen to you. It's better to obey God than to obey man. Thank you for advice, but I dismiss it in the name of Jesus. Sometimes friends and loved ones will try to save you, but they are rather destroying you. And they are speaking that which makes sense, but it dismisses and kills faith. See, I hear you.
And he received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him.
The same year, in famine, abundance can come in the midst of famine for those who obey and walk with God. Say, I hear you.
I hear you, sir.
Let me give you two scriptures. Job 5 and 22. Job 5 and 22, quickly.
At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh.
Thou shalt what?
Laugh.
Thou shalt what?
Laugh.
May I announce to you that the next major event of your life is laughter. No, I said you are going to laugh. Instead of crying or weeping, you will laugh. Now, somebody manifest, demonstrate, practice laughter right now. Say, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Some of you don't even know how to laugh. That's the reason why you are not laughing. You are not practicing laughter. You know, anytime there is a wedding, we have a rehearsal where they come to rehearse. You have to rehearse laughter before you laugh. Somebody rehearse laughter. Laugh. Ha ha. Ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha ha. Ha, 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 ha. Tell somebody and say, you are not laughing. What's wrong with you? The next major event of your life is laughter. There is coming the banquet of laughter. You're going to laugh. The Lord give you laughter. The Lord make you laugh. Laughter when? In destruction and in famine. Why? Because you are working the principle. Because you are working the covenant. Tell somebody, work the covenant. Work the covenant. And never be afraid of working the covenant because of public opinion or public perception. There's something in this country that everybody is hiding. Nobody wants to show who they are. As soon as people get to know you are blessed, they come after you. Throw things at you. A foreigner can come to this country and drive a private jet on the motorway, and it's acceptable. If a young lady drives a private jet or a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce, they will say, who is your sugar daddy? Or she's selling cocaine. So this society is like women don't have sense and head to work. They don't have brains. A woman only makes it by sleeping with a man. Turn to somebody and say, who told you that? I know a lot of women in this church who are well educated, smarter, intelligent, wiser than men. I'm telling you. Hear me. Do you know how I got born again? I got born again by a woman, a scientist, an Indian scientist called Mrs. Raj. And it was two twins, their sisters. They would come. They helped me in the things of God and got me to Church of Pentecost because I was confused between Christianity and another religion. And I almost went another way. And they brought me back. Twin sisters, the Aqua sisters. It was a woman. Women, some of my successes in life and in ministry has always been, God has always used women. You remember the property I bought in America? The bank manager was a man. He didn't mind me. I went to the top. It was a woman. And I spoke to her. And she helped me. Are you hearing me? Can we thank God for the women? Please, thank God for the women. We don't accept our own. There's something about Ghanaians. We have self-hatred. We always, if I was an American preacher or Igbo, my church would have been 100,000 by now. But a lot of the betrayals and the sufferings I've been through in this country is because I'm a Ghanaian. That's all. I know my cross. It's because I'm a Ghanaian. There are people who don't like me, not because I've done anything against them. They just don't like my audacity. They don't like it. They want me to come and stand here and say, my brothers and my sisters, let us thank the Lord, for the Lord is good. And his message endureth. Say amen. Then they say he's a very humble man. But the fact that I preach with audacity like I do, he's very arrogant. He's very proud. That is the Ghanaian mentality. If I was in Nigeria, I would have been celebrated. I'm telling you. But Ghana, we don't celebrate our own. And until we learn to celebrate one another, we will never be celebrated. Until we learn to celebrate one another, strangers and foreigners will take our inheritance and the inheritance of our children. Until we stop reporting one another, that is the Ghanaian demon. We report one another. Especially when a new government comes into office, we will go reporting one another until we use the new government to destroy somebody before we will be at peace. We will not be at rest. We will report. We have the demon of reporting one another and the demon of destroying one another. That is the demon of Ghanaians. Everywhere I have been in the world, I went to a professor's house in Singapore. He lives on the hill of Singapore, when I used to go to the Fire East a lot in those days. And he invited me for a dinner. You know what he told me? He said, I was then a bishop. He said, Bishop, you and Kwame Nada Akun are the only two Ghanaians that have been to my house. No other Ghanaian has been invited, and I will not invite any. I said, why? He said, hey, Bishop, if any Ghanaian come and see where I'm living and how blessed I am, I will lose my job. So I meet them in my office, but I'll never show them where I live. Then I was in a city in America called Houston, around Boston, outside of Boston. And I called for people who need a job. And a lot of people came forward. And the guy who was driving me around was a CEO of a big multi-million company. So I said to him, why don't you find a job for these people? He said, hey, Papa, find a job for them? Mm-mm. I said, why? He said, I got a job for some of these people in the church. And I showed them how I made it. And one of them went and reported me to the board. And I almost lost my job. So I have concluded that what I will do is to help them, give them some tips here and there, encourage them to find jobs in other places, but to get them a job where I'm working, I will only do that when I'm going on retirement. I was in Amsterdam, and a Nigerian lady cleaning the suite came to me and said, I hear you are an archbishop from Ghana, and I said, yes. He said, pray for your Ghanaians, pray for the Ghanaians. And I said, why? He said, two Ghanaian ladies fought here, and one of them went and reported to the authorities that everybody working there don't have legal document. And the immigration came and ambushed them and deported everybody, husbands, wife, left their home and their children to come to work, to go back, sending money to their parents and families here. They went to work and all of them was ransacked, sent to Ghana, deported, because two Ghanaians fought. And one of them reported and she was given papers. Hear me. If you succeed at the expense of the blood, if you succeed at the expense of the life of others, and you make others suffer, and you torture others to succeed and laugh, hear me. You, your children, and your household will never go unpunished. It's just a matter of time. Tell somebody it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. If you believe it, scream. Sometimes, people think they get away. You are lying. Don't fool yourself. Scripture cannot be broken. You think you have gotten away. It's just a matter of time. For it is written, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what thing soever a man or a woman soweth, that he shall reap. You reap it. You reap it. It's a matter of time. You think you made it? You think you are connected? You think you are Kwachabamba? You have money everywhere. You have properties. You've made it. You're the man. You're the woman. It's just a matter of time. Time changes. It's just a season. Rainy season is not forever. Summer is not forever. Winter is not forever. Every season comes to pass. No season, no time, No success is permanent. It's just a matter of time. Hear me. Every success, every power, every influence, every honor has an expiry date. It's a matter of time. Yours will expire. And because you got it at the hurt of others, because you got it by hurting others, your expiry date will be accelerated. You know, I learn a lot from history. So sometimes I take it easy about so many things. Especially when I see people trying to hurt me. Oh yeah, in this country, I've seen people scheming, finding ways to hurt me. Especially when a new government comes, there are people who will try to move, maneuver, misrepresent, lie about me, find things to hurt me. I've seen it all the time. And I've seen their demise one by one by one by one. And sometimes when it hurts, I say, Lord, why should they leave? Why should the earth allow them to walk the face of the earth? Why should their dwelling and their addresses be among the living when they devise the hurt of others without a cause? Now, if you are just God, then let the earth swallow them up and let their habitations and dwellings be changed from among the living to the land of the dead. I was traveling one time to London, and there was a man in this country. He was very powerful, close to some president some time ago. He was harassing my life over a girl that comes to church here, who was his girlfriend. And the girl stopped sleeping with him. And the girl made a mistake and told him that Pastor Nick said, I can't sleep with you again. And I never did. I was just preaching the word. And the girl put me in trouble. And he said, that pastor, I will show him power. But that tortured my life. Use the system. That's why we need to pray for people in authority. Because they can use the law and the system to do evil when they want to help innocent people. Can use the same system and law that must protect us to help innocent people. He tortured my life. And one day, there is always one day. Oh. Yeah, there's always one day. I was preaching and the oil came upon me. And I said, Lord, why should he leave? What value does he bring to you, to your work? What benefit is he to humanity? Who has he turned to righteousness from unrighteousness? I was going to London. He was in the plane. When I was coming back, he was in the casket. Let me tell you something. I will not be responsible for the blood and for the life of anybody who attacks and touches any member of this church without a true cause and a reason. It's just a matter of time. Another will take your place. And you will know that God dwells and rules in the affairs of men. Let me close with this scripture. You know, this is not part of my preaching. Sometimes the Spirit will just move me and inspire me to say some things. And I'm a vessel, so I'll just say what the Spirit says. I'm not afraid of man. I don't fear man. I can tell you things. I've seen very powerful men. Powerful. I've seen them. Gone to their offices. Walk there. Speak to them. And the following week, I was in the church when I got born again, and a young man, Bishop Nyaku, was there at Dumaku. He stood up and he prayed in tongues and he said, "Mi onyame, I am Adonai." He said, "Tell Kutu Echampo that Ghana is mine and I've removed him." In 72 hours, Kutu Echampo was removed. What was his name? Akufu. General Akufu took over. When I saw that, I said, so you mean there is such power in the church, I said, God, you've made a believer out of me. You know, the reason why this generation of Christians, the reason why you play with the things of God, you don't have an encounter. You haven't had an encounter with God. But if you have an encounter, you'll be sold out to God. That's why for some time now, every 5 p.m. to 7, I've started impartation service for the youth. On Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., impartation service for the youth. Because all the people who were inspired, affected, impacted by my ministry, from Bishop Doug, Isudanaba, Robert Ampiakovi, Kantiankra, all these guys, they came during that time of the impartation Saturday services at Action. I've gone back to it. 5 p.m., send me the youth. I'm not calling you to come. You are all right. Send me the youth. I want the new generation. I want to work with them about impartation. I want to teach them. If they want to be everything they were born to be, they must be willing to do what others won't do. And if they want the impartation, they must know what others don't know. If they want the impartation, they must have what others don't have. 21 principles of impartation. We'll continue tonight. Send the youth to me. Let me work them for you. I'll bring them back to you changed. I guarantee you. Jeremiah 33. I want to show you a scripture and end with it. 20 to 21, Jeremiah. Paradahasis.
Thus saith the Lord,
if
ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers.
You see, that's why sometimes when men of God make mistakes, you have to be very careful. And I'm saying this because I'm a man of God. We all make mistakes. We are human. We make mistakes. But the Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Whether he stands or fall, he stands and falls to his Lord. And the Bible says, who are you? Who designated you to bring a charge against God's elect? For it is Christ that died, and furthermore, he's risen from the dead. So you have to be very careful when it comes to God's ministers and his servant. When they are wrong, be careful. And if you don't believe me, read the scriptures. Go ask Ahithophel, the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon's great-grandfather, Ahithophel. When David's sin took Bathsheba and killed Uriah, the Hittite, he was angry with David. He sided with Absalom. He ended up hanging himself. And it was one prayer David prayed. And David was guilty. He was in violation of the law of God. And he went to God and said, God, I have erred, I have sinned, but against you alone have I sinned. Now, Ahithophel, the man of counsel that you gave to me to be with me all these 40 years, have turned his back at me and sided with my son Absalom to take away the throne and the kingdom from me. And he said, now, Father, turn his counsel for the first time into foolishness, and let those who hear his counsel and his wisdom disregard it. And the Bible said, when he gave counsel, it was turned into foolishness, and he set his house in order, went home and hanged himself. Absalom turned against his father. Even though his father was wrong and guilty, he died prematurely. You have to be very careful. That's what sometimes when people come and say, Papa, all these false prophets, these bad things are happening in town. Say something, do something. I say, no. It's the name of the Lord they are using. If the Lord can't defend his name, how can I defend his name? It's not my name they are using. They are using Yamidi. They are using the Bible. I'm not the Bible. God, the Bible is God's word. If God can't defend his name, they are setting me up for trouble. I'm not going to touch it. Mm-mm. Yesterday they showed me, I think Bishop Brother, they showed me a preacher in South Africa. He preaches like me. He dresses like me. My pictures all over his church office everywhere. Have my sword. The guy looks like me. And he said, I'm his father and I don't know him. And there are so many people. Me, I'm the father of the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm the father of everybody. There's a preacher, he came to see me recently. The guy preaches, he sounds like me. I was scared when I heard it. Somebody brought, he was playing it, and it was me. And when I look at it, it wasn't me. And I said, who is this? He mimics me. The way I say, and the Bible said, same way. And the guy does it even better than me. And I said, who is this one now? Then my daughter said, Papa, it's all over the radio. They all pray like you. They preach like you. They sound like you. And I said, Oben, then give it the I don't know. But listen to what the Bible said, Jeremiah 33, 20 and 21. He said, if my covenant with the day and the night can be broken, my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, if it can be broken, then let my covenant with David be broken. Do you see what God is saying? He said, if the day can be changed, my covenant with the day, that there will never be a day in the history of humanity when the sun will not appear and a night when the moon and the stars won't come, then my covenant with David shall never be broken. What makes God go to that length and extent of committing himself to a mere ordinary man, flesh and blood? A man with many errors and mistakes like David, who committed premeditated adultery and premeditated murder. You know something? Stand on your feet. I have to let you go home. Are you clapping? Are you clapping? Is anybody shouting?